guys.
What's up?
Hey.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. First episode.
So technically, this is our first episode. But then we're telling people welcome back. So we're hoping you've listened to our intro episode.
Yeah. We're hoping you've listened to the pilot and you're eagerly waiting with bated breath for the episodes to come. I'm your host, Dee.
And I'm Skinny or Jenny or whatever you want to call me. At this point, I think I'm...
I don't think you should open that up to people. People will call you nasty things. People...
You better not call me nasty things. I've already given you the option. I've given you the box. Yeah. It's either Jenny or Skinny. You know?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Don't like, if you say...
Yeah, or whatever you call... call me anytime you want. Nah, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Yeah. This is the Same Difference podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That has a really nice ring to it. I'm getting really comfortable... with same
difference.
Same difference.
Yeah, it just, I think it just encapsulates us so well.
But completely, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Episode one, guys. Welcome to
hi guys.
Are you sounding like you're tired of life? Is it because it's so cold in Nairobi right now?
There's that. Yeah. And then as a result of this freakishly ghoulish weather.
Yeah.
I was going for a recce the other day.
Yeah.
And my director for the
you were going for a what?
A recce.
What is a recce?
A recce is where as a filmmaker, you go on location, you go recce the location to see, you know, where you're going to be shooting.
Oh, me, the recce I know is one who saves people from terrorists.
Yeah.
What?
Hey, yeah.
The recce squad.
That's true. So it's a reconnaissance. So that's reconnaissance.
Okay.
That's essentially, that's the same thing.
Okay.
We're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
We're gathering reconnaissance. To now help us on the shoot.
Like what? Like lighting.
Like where we'll put lighting.
In case you don't know, guys, Jenny is a filmmaker. So
yeah.
She shoots some dope ass.
I'm Bruce
film
Wayne by day, Batman by night.
Yeah. So okay, so you were doing a recce,
Yeah, so we go for the recce, and we happen to be in Kererapon,
mm-hmm.
and my director was riding his bike,
mm-hmm.
so I thought, you know, let me hop on, you know.
Yeah,
that was a bad idea. I got mad exposure, the wind.
Oh,
my chest now and my throat are just like in.
No, this weather is unfriendly to newbie life.
It's not. It's worse than unfriendly. It's terrifying because you know you're like, I need to get there.
I'm just like, how am I in a thermal, in a scarf, in like basically I've worn a sheep on my legs because these pants actually have wool inside.
Yeah.
So that's how
you're
cold it is right now.
Yeah. I have like 9,000 layers.
Tropical country of ours. But anyway,
Imagine. We
move.
Mm.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about romanticizing the West and villainizing home.
Hey, preach.
From the perspective of a bunch
of
returnees.
Yeah. Returnee immigrants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you lived where? Where did you return from?
I lived in the good old U.S. of A.
Mm-hmm.
For
the land of opportunities, milk and
they
honey.
Say, yeah, you know, home of the free, land of the brave.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, but
it doesn't come with a survival kit. So
it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It doesn't.
Me, it's Australia.
The land down under, mate.
Oi, oi, oi.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did you
come back? Oh man, I lived in Australia from 2007 to 2020. So I came back last year. So I'm literally still a newbie.
Now you're a newbie at being.
I mean, I'm a newbie. Yeah.
I don't even know the years because then I'll betray my age. My family moved to the States when I was about 2 years old, and that now began this back and forth between here and there. And then I finally came back here.
So how long were you away in the States? How long were you? Where in the States were you?
Started out in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved to New Jersey.
The South, South.
Yeah. I was brought up as a good old Southern...
Wait, so can you cook Southern? Because I'm a foodie, so...
No, I can't.
Go back, Jenny, and learn.
It would be great if I actually got a chance to go back. But we moved moved there when I was two, and then we moved back here, and then now we moved to Jersey, and then it was a constant back and forth.
Wow.
Yeah, until I was about, until high school.
Right, so you're doing the back and forth, the yo-yoing between, what, Kenya and Jersey?
Yeah, so even in terms of school, you know, so I'd go to school there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Come back here, do a couple of years. Well, no, it was there. Yeah, so kindergarten and whatever in Alabama. I come back here, and now I have to go to like grade one.
Yeah.
And two and three.
That's hectic.
And four. And then we
leave. And it's a different system, right?
Okay, so now we can't even. 844 is even now another one of the old systems now.
Wow.
So so
what was making you move around a lot? Is it parents' jobs?
My dad was in the military.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my folks decided. So now when I was about 2 years old, now that's when my father was posted there for, you know.
Yeah.
For some stuff.
Yeah.
And then after that my folks were like, greener pastures, you know, because we have family on that side as well.
Right.
So, like, just, you know, it just made sense to go check it out.
Yeah.
So I end up going up there.
Yeah.
You know, and then now this becomes like a vacation home.
Somewhere you come on holiday.
Yeah.
So how did that shape, I guess, your, because I'm trying to, you know, you went when you were really, really, really young, right? Mm-hmm. I went when I was a teenager.
Mm.
So I already had grown up in Kenya. I've done my entire primary school, high school in Kenya.
Yeah.
So I am thoroughly Kenyan. Right? How did that shape your identity? So were you thinking you're an American coming to Kenya? Were you thinking you're a Kenyan living in America? Like, how?
I never thought about it like
you
that.
You never? Okay.
You know, because you were born
into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, it's just, I was going with the rhythm of things.
Yeah.
I happened to be a Kenyan who lives in America.
Yeah.
But that is just the tip. That's the tip of your identity, right?
Yeah.
But then you don't question that until, no, I didn't question that until I came back.
Yeah.
I didn't start to question that until when I was in high school. And people are like, they'd say something and I'm like, that was such a Kenyan reference. I have no idea
what you're saying. You know what made me realize the other day, I was like, this girl really did grow up abroad, is when, remember when someone said umelalia maskio, and you're like, what's that?
What is that?
But do you speak when you eat?
Yeah, because there's some things, you know, you learn them in Kiswahili class. And you know it, and there's context for it.
That's so interesting to me, because you see, for me, I had completely romanticized the West, and by the West I mean specifically America, because I grew up reading American novels like Sweet Valley High, Goosebumps, and Nini Nini, Hardy Boys. So that was my reference point, right? Yeah. And then I grew up with predominantly American television.
Yes.
So The Bold and the Beautiful, or these little shows about college. So that's what I expected Australia to be. I just thought, you know, if it's the West,
it's the same.
And I'm just like, I can't wait to go and eat waffles and, you know, what was in all my novels? Cream cheese and bagels.
Ooh!
Every novel, for breakfast, coffee and cream cheese and bagel. When I actually tasted a bagel, I was like, what is this yucky thing with no flavor?
Now you see, now for me. Now for me, that now was part of the zeitgeist of my childhood.
Mm.
You know, like, I grew up in the East Coast. So, bagels and cream cheese.
Yeah.
That was a thing that I used to have on a regular basis.
Let me tell you. And so, I went to Australia. So, I didn't even go to America where this is, like, a religion. The bagel and cream cheese religion. I went to Australia completely disillusioned. Vegemite. Oh, it's nasty. Oh, girl, it's nasty. So where they, you know, completely disillusioned, thinking I'm going to go to uni and find a sorority. So they're going to do some light hazing before, you know, I join the sorority. And now I'm in a bunch of girls called Alpha Kappa, whatever. And then I land in Australia and I'm like, this place is quiet. As in, I'm used to the chaos of an African capital city. And then, you know, we land in Adelaide. My mom went with me, and stayed with me for the first 2 weeks. And so we landed in Adelaide in South Australia. And I remember we're driving from the airport. We're meant to get from the airport to the student accommodation.
Right.
That drive took 15 minutes. That was the first shock of my life. Because there's no traffic, number one. There's no dust. The tarmac is tarmacking. Like, it is fully beautiful. Like, I just remember thinking, where am I? Why has this journey taken such a short time from the airport to accommodation? Then I remember we drove past a Shell petrol station. And I was like, they have Shell here too?
So a little bit of home.
So I landed in July, which is winter in Australia.
Yeah. Ooh.
It was cold. It was cold. And we landed at the airport. My mom and I have never been to Australia, so we don't know what to expect. Holy I'm God. Thinking someone from the uni will pick me up like they promised. There was no one there. So I after like, you know, a few minutes of confusion, I go to like the help desk and I'm like, look, I'm here to study at the University of Adelaide. Someone was supposed to pick me up. They're not here. What do I do?
Yeah.
And they're like, what you can do is you can take a taxi, get up to the uni accommodation.
Yeah.
And then get a cab charge, which a cab charge is a voucher, basically like a voucher for a taxi. And then the uni pays that cab charge. So I was like, okay, great. So that's what we did. And that's how I ended up in where I was supposed to be, which was my student accommodation.
Wow.
And that was the start of a rude culture shock for me. Rude culture shock.
Yeah, so that's that's incredible. My culture shock was here.
Because you've gone at 2.
Yeah.
So
and then now it's back and forth from now 2 to 15. But predominantly, my socialization was on that side of town. In the good old America.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd only come here once in a while. And then when I am here, because like, you know, like my life is, how do I put it? There's a nice comfortable bubble of family, you know, like that's a big, you know, protection mechanism in my life. So I'm not going out actually with pals. I'm not having like, my socialization is with my cousins, my siblings, like that's where we play together. And so that was the scope of my life.
Yeah.
It was the life abroad.
Yeah.
And the vacation here.
Yeah.
Which was both intertwined very much with family and with church.
And with church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So I come back here at 15.
Yeah.
And first of all, I don't know not a damn thing about like the educational system here. Remember, you know, so like it's, so I remember even when I, what brought me here?
Yeah.
how we ended up here was after 9/11. My mother said, "Yeah, no, let's not be here."
Yeah.
this place where people die.
Yeah.
People crash planes into a building.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's too hectic.
It was too much. Where you have to work 2-3 jobs just to have an okay life, you know? And that's the thing, you like, there's a romanticism that people have here for that is very supported by what you see on the TV and what you read, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, like where we lived was not at like a fancy, it's not we were living like Kim Kardashian style or like, you know, even these people that you watch on like Hip Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah.
Know? We lived in just, you know, we lived in a regular neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, where there were, you know,
regular homes. Yeah.
So there could either be one big family in that duplex or there was, you know, two separate, you know.
Yeah. And you're then, washing your own dishes, you're looking after your own meals and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just,
it was just a regular life.
Yeah. It's a complete disillusionment because. You know, like I said, I had never been outside of home. I tried boarding school for 2 seconds. That's a story for another day. Yeah. But even that I couldn't do. So I had been in day school the whole time. So I always, you know, I'm always home. I'm always my parents. I'm always with my siblings. And then now I'm in Australia and, you know, it's not like, you know, if you visit an African household, for example, you will be greeted by people you don't even know, right?
Yeah.
something we might find annoying now in adulthood, but it's what shapes who we are.
Yeah.
For me, that's what shaped my identity. People.
Yeah.
Noise. Yeah. People in your business. Yeah. And then you land in a Western country and it's like, okay, who cares about me?
Yeah.
Who cares if I wake up or brush my teeth or go to uni? Who cares? No one cares. It's a very individualistic society because everyone is doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember feeling very, very, I just felt like I want to go home. Like that was literally a month in. I was like, I want to go home. This place is so lonely. It's so boring. Like there's nothing to do. There's no one to interact with. And I'm a people person. So you can imagine I'm stuck in the uni accommodation. I was dating a guy at the time, but even then I was completely lonely because, you know, outside of our interaction, I haven't made friends yet.
Mm.
And being someone who makes friends easily, I couldn't understand why I can sit next to like a Caucasian in class, right? And we talk the whole class, but tomorrow they act like they've never seen
never
you before.
Met you.
And let me tell you, that messed with my mind. Because I was like, why are you acting like we didn't become best friends yesterday?
But we don't know each other.
But that's the thing I came to realize later. Where with white people, if you don't know each other, they can literally have a chat to you all day. You can talk to each other all day. You're sitting next to each other. Tomorrow it's like, well, I mean, what's the big deal?
Mm.
And that adjustment, I think that was my breaking point. That was literally what ended up being my breaking point.
Yeah.
Mm.
That, now for me, it's cute. So having grown up in a country where people will, you know, like, who the fuck are you looking at?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I grew up in a neighborhood like that, you know?
Wait, what?
Where you can't just, like, put your eyes on somebody.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it wasn't actually
that bad. What you see in the movies.
It's a little bit of what you see in the movies, but it's also just like, there's a culture of leave me alone. Like, this is not, if we don't know each other, then there's no reason for us to be comfortable and friendly with each other. We'd have to surpass that. And so that happens, especially now in the States.
Yeah.
You band together as Kenyans because at least you know
each other. You know each other's culture.
So then now my life there became intertwined with Kenyans. But again, we're not here.
Yeah.
We are making up our Kenyanness on that side.
Yeah.
Or we're surviving on what little Kenyanness we have.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me as a child, that's not much.
Mm.
You know, I only know what I know from the people that are around me now.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, like, people being in my business, I don't have a problem with my family being in my business now.
You know what I mean? So now you've become accustomed to that.
I'm accustomed to that.
Was it something that was strange for you?
No, but it's because, you see, like, as a child, like, it would not have been, it's not weird here because...
Yeah.
Your cousin is lives with you. You have your auntie.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know. So, in the States, that had to become a backbone of our life. The people that we knew, like from back here, or like we were really close with them, and that now extended to Kenyans.
Mm.
So people being in your business, because like, say it's just the guys in, say, like Wellington, the Kenyans in that general area, right? Those Kenyans, they're in each other's business because they're family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're practically family. They're always in each other's houses. Their kids are friends. They're, you know, like, you slowly become a small community which adopts the things that are norm here.
Yeah.
So, like, these people tend to become your aunties, your uncles, as proxies for the ones who are gone.
Yes.
You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. So here, not anyone though, but like, you know, your friends, your parents' friends, your parents' siblings, people step in for each other.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
How many times have you seen, you know, someone is in trouble, your cousin is in trouble, call auntie so-and-so, call uncle so-and-so.
Yeah.
It's everyone, everything is everyone's business.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So you go and live in a country where the individualism and the freedom is so excess. Yeah. As in, it's excess freedom.
It's crazy.
So, and everyone is doing their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite common for, you know, very young teenagers to move out of home, get a job at McDonald's or whatever,
and figure
life out, rent a share house, and never ever go back to home.
There's a kid who we grew up with.
Mm.
He emancipated himself from his parents at, I think he was 16.
Whoa. Emancipate yourself from your parents.
Let me tell you, you know, now my mother would look at us and be like,
Yeah.
You want to grow horns?
At the emancipate. Emancipate
yourself. At the emancipate
immediately.
Okay. So now you just want, you don't think there's guidance that is needed.
The impunity of African people. You cannot threaten such. Yeah. You can't. Yeah.
And then, but then, you know, you find a lot of, you find some kids who, say for example, they were brought up there and were completely severed from Kenya. And like, so like, say for example, they've not gone back, or this person does not communicate with their family on this side.
Yeah.
And so you completely become Americanized, right?
Yeah.
You find a lot of kids have, like, there's that now new generation of Kenyan Americans who have no link to home.
Yeah.
And so that is completely eroded.
Yeah.
Especially.
So all they know is American life.
All they know is American life.
And so
that is hard.
That's hard, because that, I can see how someone like that coming to Kenya, there's no way they could come and live here and be comfortable. There's just no way. There's too many things, or too many things at play. For example, it's not like when a white person moves to Kenya, they're worshipped, they're romanticized still.
Very
but
much
a Kenyan who is literally American and is only African by skin tone, moving back to an African country
would be tough.
That is trauma
in itself.
Trauma. So for me, I remember now, you know, now I've a snapshot of my first few years in Australia. My first few years were complete struggle, right? Because, you know, you have uni, you have your tutorials, you have your lectures.
Yeah.
I've, like I told you, I'm thinking the person I'm sitting next to is going to be my next BFF. This person doesn't even care if I'm alive or dead. Like, they're, like, it's literally such a, it was, I just found it so strange. And I was always, you know, I was always like reaching out to my high school friends. I was like, yo, how are you guys doing? Because I'm not doing well over here down under. And I was so jealous of my friends who went to the same uni in the UK. And I was just like, oh my God, you guys, at least you have each other. But then they also tell me about their own struggles, their own individual struggles. And I was like, okay, so everyone is struggling in some way or another. And then the reverse is like when you come back now home, like when I'd come back on holiday, now I've become accustomed to that life of individuality and and looking after myself. Me first.
Yeah.
In Kenya, it's us. Us together at all times. I got accustomed to me first. If I'm not okay, I'm not doing nothing for you. Right?
Yeah.
So then my parents would look at me like they looked at me like I'm such a strange human being, because all of a sudden I don't need anything. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not wanting to do things collectively. In fact, I got so I became so uncomfortable doing things collectively, because I had become so used to
being by yourself,
being in a by myself. Yeah. So when my parents were, my mom was like, "Oh, where are you going?" I'm like, "Girl,
mind your
business."
Excuse me? Who? What? Yeah. No. But that's crazy. So for me, it's like the freedom, there's certain freedoms and not freedoms. Because I'm trying to find the word. Like a lesser freedom. Like it's, you know. So being and growing up in America, there's some things that are your responsibility. You know what I mean? And so once you get out from now, so we were able to circumnavigate that whole, they are out there for themselves by forming a community of Kenyans that were like-minded.
Yeah.
You know, so we understood our Kenyanness. We could be like, I remember back in the day, you know, and still maintain now, you know, this like, you know, camaraderie community.
Yeah.
Right. So we'd never felt completely like alone. Right. But in terms of certain things that you learn in America that you're not taught here are things like independence, right?
Yeah,
and
from a very young age.
Like I remember, I would have to walk my sister to school, my little sister to school, and then go to school.
And how old are you at this point?
I'm like maybe 8.
Oh my gosh!
No, like that's not possible. I was maybe about like 10 or 11.
Yeah.
You know,
you're young.
Yeah. You know. And you wake up, you know, you go to the corner store, you buy yourself your bagel and G-Watch, and you know, and you put it in your bag and you wait for the school bus.
Yeah.
You go to school.
Yeah.
You make sure you have enough papers for, like, you filled your binder with all the things. Like, you
You learn responsibility.
You learn responsibility. It's true.
And not
because,
forcing.
Yeah.
Like ati, oh, you must have to carry all your books in a big bag, pack
yeah.
them in school by 5:30. No. Like, just, you know, you
yeah.
have a locker, memorize that number, put your books nicely, you know,
yeah.
be in class at a particular time, like, have your pencils, have, like, you know, like, there used to be
no one is going to chase, like, no one is literally, basically, what we're saying is, no one is going to come and police
yeah.
whether you've done those things or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and so, and then, you know, you have classes, or I mean, you have, after your classes, you have maybe like you pick up a sport,
yeah,
or you pick up an instrument, or you pick up an activity of some kind,
yeah,
you know, and that becomes part of your routine,
yeah,
and not forced. You join,
yeah,
or you don't,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
yeah.
So, did you ever feel did you ever feel different, like? You know, because you went when you were really a baby.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did you ever feel different? Or did you develop into, like... Because I imagine as a baby, you probably become American quicker.
Yeah.
You know, because you'd adopt mannerisms quicker.
Yeah.
So, did you ever feel like you're not American?
No. Seeing
no.
you. See, I've learned the national anthem. And the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm a child. What else
yeah.
is asked of me?
Yeah. This,
I have the accent. It's
yeah.
down. Yeah, good.
Nah, because I completely...
That's as much as,
I had never come face to face with my blackness until
yeah.
I was in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like even now in America, yeah,
yeah
you, that's now where I came into contact with my blackness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because all of a sudden you're like, oh.
You, all of a sudden there's derogatory
oh, yeah,
words to
yeah,
refer to
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
yeah. So me, yeah, I remember in Australia being asked questions like, how do you know English? When did you start wearing clothes? And
yeah.
I just, you know, at first I thought, are they joking?
They're joking. But then
and then when I would be asked that all the time, probably on a daily basis, especially interacting with older Australians, I was just like, this is actually a problem. These
it
guys
is.
Don't realize that we actually speak English from birth, some of us. Don't they know that we were colonized by the British? Don't they know?
We are colonists of the same
yeah.
master.
I know. Our colonizer. We share
same,
a colonizer.
Yeah. Even me now, I'll start asking an Australian, how do you know how to speak English?
Yeah.
How about you speaking Aborigine?
Yeah. No, yeah. It got so annoying. I'd be like, I learned it on the flight. It's a long-ass
yeah.
flight.
And like you see now for us, that now in America, what that becomes is like
yeah.
a banding together. Because now
yeah.
I was surrounded by my family members. So like, my friends were my cousins. So if someone is talking shit about us,
yeah,
we start talking the swear that we
know. Oh, so you can gossip
yeah,
about them.
Yeah. And even now, like my folks, my mom would speak to my older siblings
yeah.
in Cuke sometimes in like the malls and like in malls and restaurants and stuff. Just
yeah.
so we can escape, like, you know, like,
yeah.
There's a day we ran into an Indian guy from Pangani, because we were talking
Swa, and he heard
he comes, he's like, this is a quick question, are you guys from Kenya?
Yeah.
Everyone was like, how
hey!
He was like,
let me tell you, you are starved for your own people,
yeah.
even if they don't look like you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I used to wave at South Sudanese people, any black person I see on the street, I used to wave, because it was
yeah.
that rare to see black people.
Yeah.
Like, I was the only black person in my law class, I was the only black person in my media class.
Wow.
So, I mean, anytime I saw a black person, I was like, please be
my
friend.
Yeah, so me, it was Kenyans,
yeah.
and the black people that were in our school.
Yeah.
They were our friends.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, it was very interesting to me because, to be very honest, I wasn't able to make white friends for a long time. I'll be honest, because, you know, the first thing they would ask you is, like in Australia, they play footy, which is Aussie rules football.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a phenomenon no one understands but Australians.
Yeah.
So,
yeah
I can't, I don't know how to even explain it to you, but it's basically like rugby mixed with football,
soccer.
Anyway, so they'd ask something like, which footy team do you go for? And I'm like, hun,
I don't even know what you
say. I wouldn't even watch Kati if it was on TV. You're asking about
what
footy?
Are you asking me?
I don't know what is a footy.
Yeah.
So they'd ask that, or they'd ask which political party are you aligned with, and that would actually you know,
political
some
party.
Political party. Yeah, like, are you Labour? Are you Liberal? Are you this? Are you that? Like, you had to fit in a category. And I was just like, but I don't fit in these that boxes.
Yeah.
So I'd find it very difficult because I'd just be like, none. I don't follow any team. I'm not a part of any. I have no opinion on Australian politics at the moment. I mean, later on, I came to be very interested in politics, but
not
at the initial stages. And so I was like, oh my God, we have nothing in common.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I told myself. And so I literally probably shut myself off emotionally because I was just like, I can't relate.
Right. So for me, it was, you learn how to make those, because there are certain commonalities you have, you know, like you go to the same school. You know, so you do the same thing, so you end up finding something that's personable between you and this person.
Yeah.
But then I ended up going to private school as a result of my mother's hardworking nature, right? And private Christian school is... That's different.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
is it the nuns and the like sisters of school. The brotherhood and sisterhood?
No,
of...
it's just a Christian school.
Okay.
They were evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in a school called Eastern Christian. I went to both middle school and high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like, and so you don't wear, you go to school wearing whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Home clothes
every day, all day, every day.
I never understood, but then you had a uniform for, say, like PE, which was like a white t-shirt and shorts, you know. But it was a school like any other, but it had, you know, like in homeroom, we would pray, you know, and then
everyone,
you know, there was a speaker we had an AV system because so then there was AV club. So the guy you put on like
Earth is AV club,
audio visual club. So
y'all are American.
Yeah, so like you have a little like a broadcasting studio for the local TV station for the high school so in homeroom you have a TV and you have a speaker. And then it's either someone puts on and he goes reads the announcements for the day.
Yeah.
You know, the principal comes on and so then we would pray.
Yeah.
We had homeroom and we'd pray.
We'd start the day. We'll talk about this for ages and as time goes, we'll keep coming back to this topic because there's so much to unpack about being an immigrant.
Yeah.
You know, and talk about even issues like mental health, living abroad.
Yes.
Reverse culture shock coming back to Kenya.
Yes.
I need a survival kit.
You ate
Nairobi, surviving Nairobi.
First aid kit. Podcast.
Oh yeah, it's a podcast.
There's a lot of things you learn abroad that I have use if they were adopted and adapted.
Yeah. But then our country, Kenya, fails us so badly. This is the thing.
But you see, now that's the thing. We demonize it to a point where we're like, it's always bad. Now for me, I've had to come to terms with the balance of becoming a first world country or whatever. It like we're in that stage, and this is the most crucial point because now we have the capacity and accommodation to have them or their life. But we just don't know how to put the systems in place yet, or we haven't really discussed what those systems could look like from an authentically Kenyan place, or like just a purely Kenyan place without the say for example the involvement of these guys, China, or whatever, West or East, whatever is away from us.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to build a quote unquote utopian society in Kenya as a Kenyan for Kenyans, what would it look like? You know,
I think that would have to involve other African countries, like Pan-Africanism, right? Like that's when I think about it, that's the way that it would work. But like I said, we can talk about it. But before we sign out, let's talk about where we're recording from.
Oh yes.
So
we are at the Kentwood address.
Yeah, we're at Kentwood address. What would you call Kentwood address? Because it's got accommodation.
Yeah.
It's got private rooms.
Yeah.
And by private rooms, we mean rooms where you can sit and have like a private gathering type thing. They have conference rooms. They have a bar. They have they're building a restaurant. So I mean, probably a restaurant slash residence.
Yeah.
Slash conference. Multifaceted place.
Long stay. What is it? No, yeah. short stay accommodation.
Yeah.
And conferencing services.
Yeah. So it's brought to you by the same people as Liquor House.
Yes.
And they've kindly allowed us to record in their space.
Yes.
Yeah. So come check it out when you can. It's on Kiambu Road, just behind the Nairobi Farmers Market. On your way to Savis International, right?
Yes, on your way to Savis International. Right before the turning that leads you to Paradise Lost.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But don't get lost.
Please. Into Paradise if you've got
yet. Yeah. Alright, thank you guys, and we will
catch you guys on the next one.
On the flip side.
Yeah, what is it? Watch, listen, subscribe.
Oi! Yo, do us a favor, please.
Yes.
And wherever you're listening to this from, it will be on all podcast
platforms.
Mm-hmm. Please share. Please engage with us.
Yes.
I think we should get an SMS line as well. Like
we should. Just like a engagement. WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like WhatsApp audio line. Situation.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah.
So we'll set that up.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, thank you for listening and subscribe, share.
Listen, all those watch. Good
things.
We will see it.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.